And welcome to the Roto Report, brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. And today I'm talking with former Cavaliers shooting guard Damon Jones, who joins me. Damon, thanks for making time for me today. How are things with you these days?
Man, everything is going good. I'm doing TV here down in Houston for Comcast Sportsnet Houston, and just enjoying my time away from the game, still around in some capacity. Talking TV.
So was that something, as your career was winding down, Damon, you started thinking about as far as getting into the studio and doing some NBA and some college stuff?
Well, really what I wanted to do was stay around the game. I think that, you know, my career ended prematurely. I think I had two or three more good years left to play. But when that door was closed, then it was time for me to look at life after basketball, and that was something that I was comfortable with doing, and that's talking about the game in front of a TV camera.
All right, so let's do exactly that, about what's going on in these current playoffs. The San Antonio Spurs have advanced, the Miami Heat have advanced. Any surprises to you from what you've seen so far in these NBA playoffs?
Well, the only surprise to me right now, I would say the Indiana-Washington series. I think Washington is in a great position right now to force a Game 7 if they can hold serve at home tonight and get to a Game 7. Anything happens in Game 7, as we know that, you know, the intensity is so high. You know, everything is on the line. And, you know, some players tend to play tight in those situations. So, I like where Washington is. If they can win tonight, I think they could, you know, eventually win the series.
Yeah, how surprising is it that Indiana looked like world beaters midway through the season, Damon? And here we are now. They're kind of like Sybil. They've got all these different personalities, and we're wondering which team is going to show up and if they're going to survive.
Well, it's a tough situation. You know, winning an NBA championship is, I mean, it's a very hard thing to do, and I think winning a championship in any sport, you have to have some things go right for you, and that's you have to stay healthy, you have to be playing your best basketball at the right time, and chemistry is a factor. I think that with the trade that they made to bring in Evan Turner and then bringing in Andrew Bynum kind of threw the chemistry of that team off, because you had a guy in Danny Granger that was the face of the franchise before injury, but, you know, was a mainstay in that locker room. And when you bring in different personalities mid-season, when the team was playing so well, I think it gave a different dynamic. And, you know, I think the personalities haven't clicked the way that they wanted them to, and that's the reason why they struggle.
And while they're struggling, LeBron and the Miami Heat continue to roll on. I tweeted this out last night, Damon. Since LeBron left Cleveland and went to Miami, this was the 14th playoff series that they have played in, and they are now 13-1 in those 14 playoff series. The only one they lost, of course, was the championship to Dallas. How impressive is that to be 13-1 in 14 playoff series?
Man, so very impressive. Like I said, Kenny, it's tough to win the NBA championship. It's tough to advance in the playoffs because, you know, everything is on the line for everybody, and you have to have some things go well for you. And I think the fact that everybody accepts their role with that basketball team, that's one of the reasons they've been able to be so exceptional in those playoff series. And then, you know, you have to give credit to Eric Spoelstra. He's done a great job at pushing the right buttons to get those guys over the hump.
When you were playing with LeBron and you guys played for a championship in 07 and lost to the Spurs, but did you know eventually he was not only going to win a championship, but multiple championships? Could you tell, being around him and watching him grow, that this was about to happen?
Oh, man, and when it first happened, when they got to the finals against Dallas, and then they wasn't able to win that series. But after that, you know, I've seen it the whole time that we were together in Cleveland. Just his preparation, the way that he approaches the game, and he never settled for just being a good offensive player. He improved his defensive game every year with his work ethic. It's making him the best player on the planet.
What about the San Antonio Spurs? What is it about them that allows them to continue to play at such an elite level and contend last year. They should have won, actually, when you think about it. If, some free throws and they guard Ray Allen, should have won the championship, but they didn't. Now, here they are. A lot of teams would have maybe taken a step or two back and been devastated by that. It seems like it's fueled them to want to get another shot at LeBron. What makes the Spurs so special?
Well, one thing that makes that team so special, and the Miami Heat team that's doing what they're doing right now, is continuity. And once you can have continuity year to year, then you can always improve and continue to get better at the things that you struggled at. And because of it, you know, their system is great. You know, they have a lot of player movement, a lot of ball movement. There's not just one guy to key on. You have to stop the whole basketball team. And then you have a master mind at the coaching head, and that's Greg Popovich.
We're talking with Damon Jones, former Cavaliers shooting guard, played with the Cavs from 05 to 08 with 10 different NBA teams, now working as one of us in the media, breaking down some basketball and enjoying that on the TV side of things. And he's been kind enough to join us today here for the Roto Report. Damon, KD and Russell Westbrook, you look at these two guys, two very talented guys for OKC, and I often wonder, is that mix going to work? Is it the right fit? Is it the right combination? Because Russ seems to be that guy who wants to take the game-winning shot, yet you have the MVP in KD who probably should take that shot. Is that eventually going to work and pan out for them, or is it going to hurt them because maybe there's that competition or that mindset that one guy is better than the other?
Well, the crazy part about it, Kenny, is that this time last year we were talking about, well, if Russell Westbrook wasn't hurt, that the OKC Thunder would probably been the team that made it to the NBA Finals instead of the San Antonio Spurs. And now we're saying that, you know, what Russell Westbrook is doing is it going to be enough, or will him and KD clash? I think from my standpoint, you need Russell Westbrook to do what he's doing to make it easier for Kevin Durant. And we saw last year against the Memphis Grizzlies that when KD had to do it by itself, it's so easy to game plan against one player. Now, the Clippers right now are in a situation to where they don't know who to take away, and that's a big factor and a big advantage for the OKC Thunder right now, is that, you know, Russell Westbrook is able to take over the game, KD is able to take over the game, and then they have the supplementary players around them that are playing pretty good. You have Caron Butler, who's had a good game this series. You had Serge Ibaka, who's played well on both ends of the floor. So I think the combination of both of those guys is going to help them advance. Now, will they advance? I don't know. I think, the Clippers have played a good series. They had a tough loss in OKC the other day to go down 3-2, but, you know, they're back at home in the same situation that the Washington Wizards are. They have a chance to get this series to a Game 7. And like we say, in playoff series, anything can happen in a Game 7.
Damon, who gives the NBA the best chance of dethroning the Miami Heat as two-time defending champions? Is it the Spurs from what we saw last year? Is it KD and Westbrook if they can figure this thing out? Is there anybody in the East, or is this still Miami, Miami's championship to lose?
I see it as Miami championship to lose, because they are built and capable to play any style, any way. If you go big against them, yes, you're going to beat them up on the backboard and out rebound them. But, you know, they have a way of spreading you out, putting a lot of shooters on the floor, letting LeBron and D-Wade create, and they're getting to the basket. And if you clog the paint, they're kicking out for three-point shots. And with them shooting the three ball, well, it's kind of tough to beat them, because you either say, we're going to let LeBron and Dwayne Wade get theirs and try to hold down the Ray Allens and stop the Shane Battiers and guys like that from making shots. It's going to be a tough task. And if you try to go small with them, when they put LeBron at the four, play Chris Bosh at the five, you try to go smaller. I mean, they're the best small ball team in the NBA. So, you know, it depends on what style you're going to play. I still think overall Miami is going to win it all.
Is it the Spurs, though, that give them the toughest test based on what we saw last year, or do you think one of these teams that's playing now in the playoffs give them a better test?
Well, I definitely think San Antonio, just because, you know, they have the veterans, they have the system, and you have a coach in Greg Popovich who's able to adjust. And, you know, like you say, if Ray Allen doesn't hit that three-pointer in Game 6, we're talking about the San Antonio Spurs as defending as NBA champions last year. But it's tough to win in this league, especially in the playoffs. You have to, you know, you have to play a full 48-minute game once you get to Eastern Western Conference Finals and then eventually the NBA Finals. These games are totally 48 minutes, can go either way.
Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on some of the things that have happened during these playoffs. Your thoughts on the officiating as of late and some of the crazy finishes and calls that have been right or wrong debated still to this day. What's your take on instant replay and the way the officials have handled things in these playoffs?
Well, I think the officiating has been good. I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, you have the most athletic guys. You have the best players in the world, and you're not going to get every call right. And I used to say when I was playing that, you know, let's not focus on the officiating, because as well as officials will make mistakes, so do players. And you know, we always want a, you know, fair shake on, yeah, he turned the basketball over. The referee's going to miss a call. But I think overall the games have been refereed well, and the best teams have come out and won.
Do you like instant replay and the way it's being used?
I think I could do without instant replay. I think it takes away from the flow of the game. And if instant replay was structured a little differently to where there was somebody in a booth that the referees can go to and, you know, get their opinion on it and then make a firm decision right then and there, fine. But when you have to look at the play three and four times over and over again, it ruins the flow of the game. And then for the team that's winning, you're giving the team that's down extra time to strategize on what they want to do going forward.
Donald Sterling obviously has been a hot topic during these playoffs, the racist, the bigot. A lot of people are still in disbelief from the audio that was made public and everything. Give me your thoughts on Donald Sterling, and do you think the NBA has handled that well?
I think Adam Silver has done a great job. He's stepped to the forefront and taken on this situation in a great manner, a very professional manner, and, you know, hopefully the owners or the board of governors can cast that 3/4 vote to get Donald Sterling out of the Clippers organization. I know he's been banned for life, but his name is still tied to that basketball team as far as the owner. I just think in 2014 that we have to still deal with these type of comments. It's tough, you know, per se, but, you know, it's professional sports. You have to still go out and do your job, because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is winning basketball games and winning championships. So hopefully, like I said, the Board of Governors will cast that 3/4 vote, and then we can move on and continue to have the emphasis put on basketball and the great fans around the league, as well as, you know, the product that these players are putting on the floor.
How shocked were you when you heard the comments? I heard that. I'm thinking there's no way that he couldn't have said this, because it was so stupid, racist, and idiotic. And then to see him go on Anderson Cooper the other night, he probably should not have done the interview, because he made it worse. So this guy's obviously got some issues. How surprised and shocked were you?
Man, I was totally shocked. I thought, you know, it was, you know, at first I thought that, you know, this woman had doctored up some tapes to try to get some money. And then once they confirmed that it was Donald Sterling, then, you know, my mindset went into, well, you know, this guy has shown this type of behavior before with, you know, the suit that he had to go through with the houses and apartments that he owns in L.A., as well as the suit he had with Elgin Baylor, as well as Mike Dunleavy, you know, not wanting to pay him. And, you know, Mike Dunleavy is not a minority, but still a guy that, you know, is always trying to duck out on his responsibilities. You could say, you know, you saw this coming.
Damon Jones is our guest, former Cavaliers shooting guard from 2005 through 2008. All right, let's go back to your time here in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people want me to get into this with you. Back in the day, I was doing my radio stuff. One of my things I did as a talk show host, I'd always come up with nicknames like Sagana Chop was Lasagna Flop, and Trajan Langdon was Tragic Langdon because it didn't work out. And you come here as the self-proclaimed world's best shooter, right? And we're seeing you make J's. And then the defense really wasn't your forte. So we came up with Amon Jones. And then when the J wasn't there, it was Amon Owens. And people still remember that. Give me your thoughts when you first heard about that. You and I talked about it in the 07 NBA Finals and everything that went through your mind there.
Well, Kenny, I have to say, man, being totally honest, I was pissed. I was really pissed about that. I think for myself, you know, I approached the whole Cleveland situation the wrong way. I thought, you know, coming from Miami, where we were so successful, I was a starting point guard there on an Eastern Conference team that lost in Game 7 to the Detroit Pistons. And, you know, my confidence for you know, what I did for that basketball team, I brought it to Cleveland thinking that my role would be the same. I think in sitting down talking with Danny Ferry and Mike Brown and during the recruiting process for me to come in, that I would be the starter. And when that didn't happen, it kind of knocked me back a little bit. And I think because of it, I struggled early on. But, you know, after that, you know, I kind of calmed down and simmered down a little bit and understood you were just doing your job, and I just had to get back to playing basketball. So when I did get the opportunity to play, I think second half of my first year and the year after that, I played pretty well. Could have done better, probably could have been put in better situations as well to be successful, but you know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, my time in Cleveland was a great time because the fans were great and we were successful. And that's how I look at the game of basketball. Are you successful? You know, individual accolades, you know, they come and they go. But as a team, can you do the proper things to help your team win? And I thought that I was a big part of the success that we had.
One of the things that I tried to do, obviously, we're there as talk show hosts. We're entertainers as well. So, you know, and we come up with different ways to approach talk shows and everything along those lines. And one thing I tried to do, even though I would take shots at some players, question some players, nicknames like you and some of the others, I would always try and be in the locker room for guys in case they had an issue, you know, to come up and talk to me and not shy away from it and be there. And like I said, in 07, the NBA Finals, we were in San Antonio, and you came across the court. I remember like it was yesterday and everything. And we talked about it. And the thing that I'll say now as we do this podcast is I gained respect for you more so that day with the way you handled it than anything you did on the court, because a lot of NBA players let it affect them too much and it affects their play as well as their personality. And you kind of rolled with the punches. And that's one thing. And that's why we're still here talking today, doing this interview. You were willing to do it. It's because I respected the way you handled things like that. And a lot of guys don't. Is there something that maybe a team or maybe a player like yourself should go out and talk to players about how they should handle media situations like that?
Well, I think that, you know, the mindset of a player, it should be focused on their job and how can they do their job to the best of their ability. You know, sometimes the opinions of others affects players. But at the same time, you know, the media, as I found out now that I'm on the other side, the media side of it, everybody has a job to do. And And as a media person, I'm going to do the best job that I can to, help my team right now, Comcast, CSN, Houston. So if I have a, I have to analyze a game and I see something that a player is not doing well or there's no execution, as an ex-player, I voice my opinion. Now, have I had some run-in with players, over the course of this year? Of course I have, but I think that, being a professional, you have to go out and do your job. And if you're being assessed by the media or a writer or whatever, and they're saying some things about you that you don't feel is warranted, then continue to improve and continue to go out and do your job at the highest level, then we wouldn't have this problem. So, I think sometimes, players take things too personal and not understanding that as they have a job to do, so does the media.
Damon, LeBron James and what he's doing right now, going for his third championship, has a chance to opt out after this year. I think if they win, he's going to stay because he's got an opportunity to four-peat, and not many players have had the opportunity to win four in a row. If they lose, I think there's a better chance that he will opt out in free agency. Do you think there's any chance that LeBron could come back to Cleveland at whatever point when he becomes a free agent?
Kenny, to be totally honest, man, I have no idea. I mean, we have conversations all the time about basketball, about life, family. We share a lot of conversations. I don't know. I just think that my personal opinion about it is that I think he's still scarred by the things that Dan Gilbert said on his way out. Now he didn't say that to me personally. I'm just
right.
saying that's my opinion. And, some of the things that were said and, some of the things that were done as far as, just a handful of fans, not a lot of them, but a handful
right.
of fans and burning the jerseys and stuff like that. That's a tough situation. He gave everything he had not only to the organization, but to the city with everything he did while he was there in Cleveland. And he had an opportunity to go to a place to where he thought that he had a chance to win an NBA championship. Here he is. He's won two, looking to win three. So I don't know. Whatever he does, I hope – my hope for him is he's happy, his family's happy, and that's it.
Here's the thing with LeBron. He had every right to leave Cleveland and go wherever, and it turned out he made the right decision, obviously.
Right.
Three straight NBA finals, looks like they could get back to their fourth. So he made the right decision and had every right to do that. I think it's how he handled it that really hurts. Like my son, was a huge fan, and the way he did it on national TV and stabbing Cleveland in the back nationally like that, I think that's what pissed people off the most. And that's why you had the burning of the jerseys and the posters and everything like that. People still would have been upset had he done it maybe just in a press conference in Miami saying, I'm going to come play with the Heat, but to do it on ESPN, that's the part people were upset with. And I think Dan was responding to the fans' anger and needed to do that for the fan base. Was it probably wrong on his part? Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right, and Dan's finding that out now when he also said that the Cavs were going to win a championship before LeBron. But as you mentioned, certain players – have to put that out of their mind and just focus on the game. So do you think that if the Cavaliers show that they have a good roster, and that's still debatable at this point, and whoever they bring in as a head coach, that maybe LeBron could get over what was said and how it was handled, realizing maybe that he didn't handle things the right way?
Well, I'm gonna approach it this way, Kenny. Now, the ESPN thing was probably – over the top,
yeah.
As far as you announcing your free agent move that way, but we are talking about at that point in time and now the best player in the world. So with that being said, ESPN they took total advantage of that, because that what was said going into that particular showing, it was only supposed to be, you know, LeBron saying where he was going to go, as far as it being a whole hour special. That was something that ESPN did. And then on top of that, you know, he raised so much money for the Boys and Girls Club and for youths around the world doing that 1 hour segment. Now, if he would have told Dan Gilbert before he went on and done that, then, okay, I can understand that argument. But, you know, I think too much is being put on LeBron about the whole decision and things of that nature, and ESPN is getting they're getting no flack from it. And, you know, he raised a lot of money. Yes, I think, from my opinion, he should have let Dan Gilbert know before he did the one-hour special, so therefore it wouldn't have been a surprise to them. But,
right,
you know, at the end of the day, it was positive for, I mean, I don't know how many kids or how much money that he raised for those Boys and Girls Clubs.
Let's end on a positive note. What comes to mind when I say May 5th, 2006 at Washington?
Man, one of the highlights of my NBA career. One of the highlights of my NBA career. Probably the best moment that I had as an NBA basketball player. And that was to be inserted in the game after not playing four quarters and two overtimes, and being inserted in the game with 14.8 seconds and helping the Cleveland Cavaliers get to the next round in advance. You know, that's how I look at it. I just glad that I was able to make the shot for us as a team, us as an organization, us as a city, to get us to that next round.
Yeah, that game-winning shot from the corner to win the series 4-2 at Washington, and you guys had some wars with Washington those years when, you know, Gilbert Arenas was there, Caron Butler, and the boys, and again, you know, the self-proclaimed best shooter in the world. If you need any evidence in court, maybe to back that up, coming stone cold off the bench into an overtime situation in Game 6 of the playoffs, that there's some evidence for you in your argument, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know, during my days in Cleveland, I made a lot of big shots, a lot of game-winning shots. So the J part of, you know, Damon Jones will be there forever. It's like riding a bike, Kenny, the J part. Now, the D, we could debate that now. We can leave that up to debate. But you know what? I think, looking back at it, I was toward the end of my career, the last 4 or 5 years, I'll just say I was a great team defender.
Fair enough. We'll leave it at that, and we're all good. Right? You're not still pissed at me. We all good right now and everything?
No, Kenny, man. We are in a great place. I appreciate you having me on for this podcast. Hope all the fans enjoy our conversation that we've had. And if they ever want to reach out to me, you can reach me on Twitter, D19J. I respond to fans. I respond to positives. I respond to negatives. It doesn't matter. It's all about connecting with the fans. You know, I had a great 12-year NBA career, and I couldn't have done it without the fans in every city that I played in. So I just want to thank everybody. Kenny, I thank you for this opportunity, this platform, and hopefully we can do it sometime soon.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll keep in touch maybe as we get closer to the finals, revisit it to see who actually is playing against LeBron and the Heat in the finals. And again, it's at D19J on Twitter if you want to follow Damon. I suggest you do it. He's a good follow, and he will respond. That's how we set this interview here up today. So, Damon, thanks so much, bud. You've always been a great sport about things, and congratulations on coming over to the dark side, man. You're one of the media members,
yeah,
man. Best of luck.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. Talk to you soon.
There you have it. The Roto Report with special guest Damon Jones. The Roto Report was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs, 330-722-4444, or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, seat down, keep it real.